Now, this live festival will follow that service you just heard. In some of the stations outside of Los Angeles, Las Vegas particularly, but other stations also. And we never say anything about money. We don't do it like other TV people. We don't have telethons. We don't have projects. We don't peddle useless love gifts in return for a contribution of so much. I don't know how this gift business gets out. When I send you our love gift for a contribution of not less than such and so, try that at the Christmas tree. Dear Mom, here's your Christmas present, a love gift to you in return for a $25 check to me. C.S. Lewis, as I've told my congregation for years, said, God be God, has no needs. Just think about it. He speaks, not a thing comes into existence. The prophet in the Old Testament said, speaking for God, the silver and the gold are mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If it's not enough, he just speaks and creates another one. So how nonsensical, or what a poor substitute of a God you serve, if he has needs. He's the creator. We're creatures. And as creatures, we have needs. And C.S. Lewis put it beautifully, one of our greatest needs is the need to be needed. So God in love covenanted a program whereby we could participate and show our own sense of value, participating in his program. Not because God has needs. Jesus told his disciples not to carry a scrip. Scrip's a begging bag. Heathen priests carried it to beg money to lay at the feet of their gods. Don't do that, he said. Yet, preacher's been doing it for 2,000 years. He commended the gift of the alabaster box, the most precious thing the woman had. And because Judas opposed that, at that moment, John's Gospel says, the devil entered into him and drove him into perdition. Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, you tell what this woman hath done. The gospel which we've been preaching is the good news of God's deliverance and his delivering power that he wants to give us if we trust him. We would also tell what the woman did, who gave the best that she had. And he said, when you've been forgiven much, you love much. Preachers again for 2,000 years, me being included, have preached the gospel without giving equal billing to that spirit of giving as the alabaster box which comes to somehow out of a heart of love respond to what God has done. 26 years we've taught people to give right. You don't accept God's ownership, the tithing's a meaningless concept. If you do, if you say amen to God's promises, he's made it clear. The earth is his. Most people on this earth are illegal squatters. We testify to his ownership with the tithe and with the first fruits. And he has promised that those who do that, he'll pour out a blessing on them. You'll do more with the 90% than you could, and God helping you and blessing you, than you could with the 100% on your own. If you don't believe that, you don't believe God's word, I have nothing to say to you. But I've taught people to do what this message you just heard maintains. Say amen to God. And then he turns loose his portion. This ministry is supported by people who do it God's way. That's why they applaud when I say it's offering time. The offering should not be a downturn in a service. It should be an uplift. Worship, as I said so many times, is worth-ship contracted. Worth-ship. What's this painting worth? You're going to get an answer in a medium of exchange, dollars or pounds or whatever country the transaction is being carried forward. Worth-ship is expressed with that which our hard-earned effort, gifts, toil, that which God has given us, and that which God has, which we work on and with. Out of that, we show forth God's worth when we give. We never make it a condition of being in a city that they pay the airtime. Eventually, if there's no response, Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and go to another place. But we have tried to cut a different pattern, not lay a burden on the people. We come declaring the good news as Paul did, teaching the truths that will lead us out of a darkened world to life eternal. And to those that see the light, we have the confidence that after we have taught a while in that city, people will give the way you pay for food because of what you received. You're going to respond and say, this was worth paying for. I never raise money with projects. Even when we have a secret every year, I won't say what it is, because the only giving that we receive here must be a response to the teaching. We're not interested in people who give for tax deduction. We're a church in good standing with our denomination. We're 501c3. We're qualified to grant tax deduction to people who give, but we don't want givers that give for that motive. Jesus said, when you give, give in secret, that your heavenly Father will reward you in secret. Well, at the very least, don't do what the Old Testament king did, who showed his treasures to the enemy government and got told that not only would he have all those treasures seized by the government, his young men would be turned into eunuchs until they could never produce again. We take serious the fact that worship, religious commitment, is a private matter between you and the church of your choice and the minister that feeds you. We're not a poor church. I'm not a poor pastor. I was elected under terms that was written out. I chose them. I wrote 16 terms. One of them was $1 a year plus expenses. Never told them how expensive I'd be. But God had blessed me, and I came to town in a limousine provided by another institution that I had served and still serve. But I don't need your money. But if I teach you, God's Word says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I've heard that taught me growing up in the church on every subject in the world. From being hit by a car because I went over the speed zone when I was 16. To all the teenagers being scared to death, they would have pimples and boils all over the face if they masturbated. I heard that taught in a youth camp once. Santa Elena, California. And the preacher, I don't know if he's around or not, he probably died from boils on his face. Text without context is error. I'm still smiling because that same preacher would say text without context is error. We're in for a strange one today, folks. The context of that verse has only one reference point. Now, I could take you through the cases and all the syntax of the Greek. It has only one context and one reference. The verse that went before it. Let him that is taught in the word, koinonia is the Greek word, share, mutually participate or partition out. Share with the one who taught him in all good things. And as I said this morning, things. Things is money and jewels and cars and art and collectibles and all those wonderful things that mankind lust after. All those things that made people pull those one-armed bandit levers up in Las Vegas. Let him that's taught in the Word. If you aren't taught, you're either unteachable or you got a bad teacher. But let him that's taught in the Word share materially. Share in good things. Share with the one who taught you in all good things. The next line, be not deceived. God will not be scorned or mocked at. Whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. It'll go down with you. Still the same context. You can spend your money on whatever you want to spend it on. You'll buy boats. Buy anything you want. But what you spend on the flesh will go into corruption as this old body we lay down someday and will not be raised to eternal glory. Though the fading body that has walked in faith that lays down will be raised. If you sow to the flesh, you have the flesh reap corruption. You can do it. It's your choice. You can do whatever you want with your money. If you sow to the Spirit, and then the Greek had something that the King James doesn't have. the Spirit of life will reap you a harvest of life eternal. It's like you got an advance investor over in eternity. If you sow to the Spirit, which has just been defined as sharing materially with the one that taught you, you reap a harvest, but not just a one for one, a Spirit of life. In eternity, reaps a harvest of life eternal. Now, I've often said, if you park and a parking meter starts squirting out a teaching message to you, you better start shoving your coins in that parking meter. It doesn't matter whether the teacher is as rich as Howard Hughes or Kurt Kerkorian, or as poor as a church mouse. If the words that are teaching you come out of the mouth, I repeat, of a Howard Hughes or a Kurt Kerkorian or a Bill Gates, let him that's taught share materially with the one that taught you. That's the designated exchange place. That's the counter you go to. I've also used the illustration, there used to be a famous restaurant here in Los Angeles, Chasen's. I knew Maud quite well. They used to treat me very well. They were expensive. So I just mentioned, and we showed pictures of Petrosian's in New York. Don't go there broke. The greatest caviar you'll probably get anywhere, but don't go there broke. I'd like to go into that restaurant. They treat me very well, too. They keep it open when we arrive late in New York. And go into Petrosian's. And when I finish eating a meal, just as good as it always is here, I'd say to the manager, but you know, we have a little restaurant just getting started out in South Central Los Angeles, and they need money worse than you. So I'm going to pay for this meal when I get back to Los Angeles by giving it to that little restaurant that's just getting started. Well, they treat me very well. But I'd probably end up in jail. You pay where you eat. That's the principle God is saying. And in God's case, it has to do with your testifying and your discernment of the worth of what you're receiving. I have people call and say, will you send me some information about Dr. Scott, well, what do you need? You're looking at me. What are you going to learn? If I'm no good, I can write the most flowery set of lies you've ever read in a piece of paper, which is what most people do that send you that stuff. Starting out with phony doctorates. It's almost embarrassing to have doctor in front of my name because there's so many phony ones. My PhD from Stanford's about that big. Those mail order ones, they get big as a TV screen, which tells you sizes and everything. Having begun in the Spirit, do not end in the flesh. What you are doing is testifying to the worth of what you've received. The giving is an act that God is looking at, and it's a test of your obedience and a test of your value system and whether or not you will pay where you got your food because God said do it. Period. I don't need your money. Church doesn't need your money. You need to give if there's anything other than an exercise of curiosity. Nobody's asked you to give. Nobody's going to ask you to give until you've first been taught. And then after you've been taught, the issue suddenly is between you and God. I get calls that say, well, this is better than anything I've ever seen or heard. Well, then pay accordingly. That's how this ministry functions. That isn't how we operate. I'll get along fine if nobody ever sends another offering. I was making it before I came here and making it well, and will continue to make it well. God bless me so well. I've said many times, if I were dumped on a desert island, God would create a market for sand. I've learned about God's care. But I teach people to give God's way, which brings dignity to God instead of shame. So you that watch wherever you are, this is about the only kind of appeal you will ever hear. Not because we need your offering to be in your city. We've been paying the bill for I said this to you. You need to give. If the truths you've heard have affected your life, and you want to do it God's way.